This is a sermon from Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. Thank you for joining us. Learn more at wdmcovenant.org. Unfortunately, we did have technical difficulties again with the sermon recording this week, so let this serve as your advertisement to come and listen to the sermon live, where you get to hear the whole thing the first time. We have re-recorded the beginning of the sermon, including the scripture lesson. God bless. There is a problem with commencement season, and the problem is commencement addresses. Many of you have probably gone to a commencement address, or you're going to tomorrow night, or you've been to one in the past. And so you know the problem with commencement addresses is that in a commencement address, it is way too easy to give people just blanket moral advice. And when I'm honest, sermons have the same problem as well. Way too much about Christian theology has become ethics, and not very interesting ethics at that. Confirmation classes, we just welcomed our confirmands, can do the same thing. We can spend all this time telling you what to believe, and if you're lucky, we also tell you how to behave. But it's like we're always telling you what you're supposed to do. And we are about to read one of the scriptures that is at fault for a lot of this. This is the end of Paul's letter to the Philippians, and Paul's letters always end with this section about how to live. Now, I think when we read this section about how to live, we miss the point if we read it prescriptively, because it's not enough for us to be told what to do. It's not enough for us to be told what to do because what we do is in the context of something else. These sections are always at the end of Paul's letter because these sections flow from everything else that Paul has said about who God is. So I invite you to hear this lesson not as instructions, but rather as a description, or at least as an encouragement about what life could be like in God's presence. On Pentecost Sunday, we are reading Paul as he writes about what life in the Holy Spirit is like. After the fire and the foreign languages, this is what Pentecost looks like. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you." This is the word of the Lord. Now, I care about how you read this passage because I have just read to you a whole bunch of things that you cannot accomplish on your own, and neither can I. I'm guessing that we have failed again this week at rejoicing always and not being anxious about anything. I won't make you raise your hands for that part. I know I failed this week at rejoicing always and not being anxious about anything because, well, there was a presbytery meeting on Tuesday and there were meetings and there were tasks that I fell behind on and I paid too much attention to social media and the news as usual. And you probably fell off that rejoicing always and not being anxious about anything because you probably also saw the news this week and you might have had final exams and sports and family commitments and your garden is getting out of hand because it's been raining and then it got hot and the things go crazy, right? And we all lost that ability to rejoice always and not be anxious about anything because Well, it's not fashionable to rejoice always and not be anxious about anything. It doesn't make sense in our world to be reasonable to all people because truth and excellence seem impractical in our world. So if I have to accomplish this, if you have to accomplish this, if we have to accomplish what Paul tells us in today's scripture lesson, we're lost. But if what Paul says to us in today's scripture lesson is not a set of tasks, but rather an invitation, maybe this is a gift instead. Because the good news here is that life in Christ is not about living up to some moral code, some set of instructions that we are supposed to abide by. Christian life is about being immersed in the presence of God. That's what Pentecost is. The Holy Spirit, which is God's presence itself, comes and rests on each of us and all of us as we gather together here and as we go out into the world where God already is. We are not assigned to live in a certain way. Rather, we are invited to live in the presence of God. We are immersed in God's presence. Paul wrote, "Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near." I think that's the key. The Lord is near. Paul wrote that as if he was expecting Jesus to just come back showing up on a cloud any day now. And now, historically, that's not exactly how things worked out. So if you're afraid you've missed it, don't worry, you haven't. But it is exactly how the life of faith works. The life of faith works exactly by expecting Jesus to show up anytime, anywhere, in any way, before we even imagine that it's possible. Today is about the recognition that God is always right here, present with us. And so I'm going to offer you this scripture lesson again. And I want to offer it to you very, very specifically as an encouragement. Beloved, you can rejoice in the Lord always because the Lord is near. I'll say that again. You can rejoice because the Lord is near. You can let your gentleness be known to everyone because the Lord is near. You don't have to worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you are invited to let your requests be made known to God because the Lord is near. And the peace of God, this one is already an invitation, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus because the Lord is near. So finally, beloved, whatever's true or honorable or just or pure or pleasing or commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, you are invited to think about those things because the Lord is near. You can keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, in the Apostle Paul, in your ancestors in the faith, in each other, in this world around us. You are able to keep on doing these things that are the life of Christ in the world, and the God of peace will be with you because the Lord is near. This is the word of the Lord. This is our invitation. We are invited to live knowing that the Lord is near. We are invited to live trusting that even when we don't know that the Lord is near, yet the Lord is near. We are invited to walk through the world paying attention to where God might be where in beauty or generosity or humor God might be showing up among us. Where in the life of someone else that we are interacting with might God be showing up? In our own lives. Even when we are too humble to imagine that God would be present in our lives, where might God be showing up? We're invited to look in those Bibles, whether the ones in the pew in front of you, the ones in your gift bags today, the ones sitting at home on your shelves. We're invited to look in those, not for answers, certainly not simply for instructions. We're invited to look in those for clues about where God might be, about what God might be up to in the world around us. We are invited to make really specific choices to enact our faithfulness to God and God's faithfulness to this world. Whether those are service projects or choices about what to buy or do or people to befriend and support, we are invited to make those choices trusting that the Lord is near, that God is present with us, within us, and all around us. Because we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are part of God's ongoing mission to reconcile the world in Jesus' name. Because the Holy Spirit fills us, we are gifted with peace beyond understanding. Because the Holy Spirit is with us, we are immersed now and always in God's presence. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our second hymn is number 293, Loving Spirit.